What are you laughing at me for?
Because I can't.
It's Barry. I don't know why you're laughing. It's Blair and Barker.
You don't.
For a Friday. No. on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And Sportsnet, a reminder, tonight's game is an Apple TV Plus game.
Yeah.
Which means you won't be able to watch it on Sportsnet, but you will be able to listen to it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah.
Online. And why are you laughing? Why is that funny?
I just predicting whether it's going to be a line drive hit the left or not in the little right-hand corner. I laugh about that.
What? Oh, the Apple TV stuff.
Yeah, I laugh about that.
Okay. I mean,
I wonder what it would have said if I was hitting. I wonder.
Baker.
No.
Baker.
That's only in Dominican.
Baker. 225. 225, 3.
I wonder. 100% 12. Chance of ground out.
100% chance of ground out.
I don't know.
100% chance of ground out. 100% chance of yelling at umpire.
Oh, there's a good chance of that.
Yeah.
Some legally blind ones.
Yeah.
That's facts. You see that one yesterday?
What one?
The one that was doing the Jays game.
Yeah, that was...
Holy moly. Man.
I did like the yelling at Booney, I can't make it go up. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. You said it many times. It's really hard for
me. But it was, no, this, the home plate, it... This crew did not have a great series in terms of balls and strikes.
Yeah.
I think by and large, it all sort of came out on the wash. I think they were kind of iffy for both teams, but.
It's been going on for years, Jeff.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah. You know, again, though, did it have an impact in the series?
How will we know?
I mean, I'm trying to think of the one. There was one.
The Bellinger bat when he punched out on the swing and hit by a pitch.
Yeah.
There was a pitch in that at bat that would have changed it in one direction that's his advantage.
Yeah.
With traffic. Like there's sometimes that you just, there was a punch out that was way down. That's the one that Booney basically was.
He got all swirly.
It's just three blind mice. I don't know. It's like, it's too easy. And again, until you're afraid of losing your gig. It's going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Facts. Well, no, it
they're not afraid.
Yeah, it was.
I don't do playoff games. Okay.
So what? It was not a great series by any stretch of the imagination.
Some Yankees would have been tapping their hat like crazy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they? Yeah, they would have.
Anyhow. As we mentioned, the Jays and Angels are going to start their series tonight. A little update in the lineup if you just joined us. If you just did join us, the hell kept you? It's Friday. Can't be doing anything.
Cottage.
All right. You can still have us on and put headphones in. But anyhow, the Jays lineup does not include Vladdy Guerrero Jr. He fouled a ball off his foot. I am just reading. We're going to be joined by Shai in a few minutes. Shai mentioned on Twitter that it doesn't appear as if it's anything serious. John Schneider said Vladdy Jr.'s foot is sore, so the Jays are giving him a day off. Get him off his feet if we need him. I think he'll be okay. Bobichet is hitting third today, and Schneider said he's just covering for Guerrero today. So Bobichet is in the lineup hitting third. Andrés Giménez is in the lineup. He is leading off.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get into debates with your friends about whether or not Bobichet should be hitting third. He's hitting third today because Vladdy is out of the lineup. And that would suggest to me that, I mean, I guess they have him available for pinch hitting.
Yeah, and also with the knee, right, his first at bat, he don't have to run off the field, be in a hurry. He can take his time getting ready for his first at bat, which is a big deal. So,
yeah
I mean, it all adds up to make the player the best player he can possibly be, which will help the team, right? And you mentioned it. He's really good with runners on base, runners in scoring position. I mean, Springer's getting on all every time. So, yeah, hopefully Bo comes up with lots of traffic and can get some big hits.
416-413-3959. It's a back leg line. It's a Friday. We're kind of filling in here, doing a little bit of mixing and matching, as they say, doing a lot of ragging the puck. Richard in Winnipeg, though, he had a question or comment for us.
Great show. Appreciate what you're doing.
Stop it right there. No, go ahead.
Great show. Appreciate what you're doing. My question today is, how hard is it to add an extra player to a roster that's doing this well, where you don't want to upset the apple cart? I must imagine it's really difficult to do that. Could you, Kevin, yourself, elaborate more on that? Because you've probably been in this position. Thank you very much. Appreciate what you guys are doing. Enjoy the rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah, thanks for the call and the kind words. I've never been on a team this good. I've never been on a team in the big leagues that's been in first place. And I've really never been on a team where it's a bunch of names that kind of you didn't expect to do what you're doing. And if that would upset anything, if, say, I'm assuming the caller's talking about when Varsho comes back, who sort of don't play? You know, if when Tony comes back, what does that do to Springer DHing?
Yeah. That, like, to me, is the big one.
Yeah, how do you take care of that, right? I mean, it's...
And then if you put Santander in the outfield, you weaken your outfield defense.
Yeah, I think it's more about what Springer's doing, right? I mean, you know, basically, yep. Springer's been carrying this team, and he's one of the main reasons, if not the only reason... I shouldn't say the only reason, but he's a big reason why they're in first place. So, yeah, I think it's very individual. I think John's done a really good job of sort of, you know, having a good feel of the room. It was like when you're supposed to walk Judge and who's not supposed to walk Judge, right? You got to know the feel. You got to know who you're counting on. You got to know who your big boys are. I think the lineup thing is kind of the same way, right? If they went out and got, I say, Emmanuel Clase, I'd just throw that name out there. Yep. That wouldn't disrupt anything.
No.
He's going to fit right in. I mean, because yep. the back end of your pen is made up of a couple of veteran guys who've been there and done it before, and they've both been paid.
Yep.
You know, it's not like they're fighting for, you know, oh, I got to get this amount of saves. No, Hoffman
both of those guys are under contract for next year, the year after.
In so Hoffman's is Yariel, case, too.
So they're not, their cages aren't necessarily going to be rattled by
there
that.
There it is. I mean, you got to be good at communicating. Yep. You got to tell everybody up front what the role's going to be, especially the veteran guys that you're going to count on to do special things. The lineup, I think the Anthony thing is going to be one of the things I would think that you're going to have to really work on. If you're John, the 19 hitting coaches, the khakis, like, you just got to figure out how to not screw up Springer. I mean, that's basically what it is, right? He's sort of the only one that you'd have to really worry about when dude's coming back. Like, Straw's a bench guy. I mean, he'll go to the bench when you tell him to go there, right? Varsha's going to play every single day if he's healthy. It's just the Tony Springer thing, because the way Springer's DHing. That would be the only one, and again, I'm sure they're both going to be team players. They'll do what they have to do to get the best out of both of them.
Yeah, it's, you know, leaving aside the whole thing about chemistry and everything like that.
Winning's chemistry.
Winning is chemistry. Mm-hmm. I think your point is well made. I'd be less worried about anything being disrupted, in air quotes, other than George's routine, because that is working. I do not want to tinker with that, and I've got enough outfield depth that I can do it, right? It's not hurting me defensively, so I can do that. And again, now you get back to the question of what do you do with Santander. These things typically take care of themselves, but
you're playing him no matter what. He's healthy, he's playing.
Yes or no? Yeah.
Then you figure it out. You figure out what's best for both players. You know, everybody's telling us how much faster George Springer's bat is. Who's to say that's not because he's not DHing a ton? And he's your best player right now. Let's be honest. He is. Yeah. He's the reason why you can stick him anywhere you want to stick him in the lineup. So
let's go to Sportsnet's MLB insider, Shai Davidi. Hello, Mr. Davidi.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, how are you, man? Hey, just wondering, I know that you've had your availability with John. I read your tweet, X, whatever, social media posting. It appears as if Vladdy, there's no concern, there's no x-rays or anything like that needed for the foot injury.
It sounds like they did some imaging last night, not a full x-ray. There was some other term, which I can't recall right now, for what that imaging was. There were no concerns that were raised during it. And so this is just basically him being sore. They're in the middle of 16 games in a row, or I guess two-thirds of the way through it now. Yep. And they were going to try to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. a day here at some point. So the ball off the foot has created an opportunity for this to be the day. And it sounded as if the Blue Jays need Guerrero to pinch hit in a spot later in the game, that is a possibility.
Shai, you were here in 2015, 2016. I understand it's July 4th, but compare your sense of this team to those 2015, 2016s. You know, clearly they're different. They don't have the Donaldsons, the Batistas, the Martins, and all those guys. But are there any similarities you see?
I don't know. I guess maybe in the way right now that they're executing at a really high level, but that team was really top heavy, right? I mean, you had 120 homers in the middle of the lineup between Donaldson, Batista, and Encarnacion. And that was where the bulk of the damage was going to happen. Like, now the other spots in the lineup could get you, it goes really under the radar, but Colabella was sneakily important for the 2015 club. Ezequiel Carrera had his moments, like Ben Revere, a period of time that he was there. Like, there were other contributions for sure, but those guys were doing the heavy lifting. Whereas now it's like that series against the Yankees, and as cliche as it sounds, like that was legitimately, I guess a 25-man roster thing, because Bo was hurt for most of it. I chatted with Bo a little bit before the game today, and he said something interesting. He said, the way that the Blue Jays are doing it is like, I've never been a part of a team like this before, where you're just getting all these contributions from all these different areas. And this is really unique from a Blue Jays perspective. I can't think of another club in team history that has been sort of built and designed quite in this way. I think if you go back to the 80s teams, they did have some platoons. The most famous one, I guess, or two most famous ones, were Mullenix and Orge, Garth Orge at third base, and then Cliff Johnson and Al Oliver at DH. But the way this Blue Jays team mixes and matches, they've got a little bit of a Tampa Bay Rays vibe to them in the way that they've got just guys with different skill sets for different situations. It's been incredible to think, I remember having a conversation with our colleague Arden Zwelling when we were in Minnesota for that series, was about a month ago. And just kind of saying, it's amazing that everything the Blue Jays do right now is working out. And here we are a month and change later, and we're still saying the same thing. So I think in that aspect, it's really a unique setup and a unique way that this team is going about it.
Shai, do you think they think differently about Chad Green today than they did, say, 2 weeks ago?
Not necessarily. I think there has always been a high degree of trust in Chad Green. But he really answered the bell at key moments, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, I don't want to kind of repeat myself, but I think that's one of the cool parts of the series that just was that you just had these guys stepping up when they needed it. Like in the Blue Jays, like there were no options for them if not Chad Green for the third time in four games in that series last night. And it was two ups that he had to pull off in that spot after logging, good work in earlier in the series. And maybe there's an element of, revenge games for him against the Yankees. And I think he's probably past that at this point, but maybe, but he answered it. So I think if you're the Blue Jays, again, right now, it really feels like whatever they touch turns to gold. That probably doesn't last forever, but Chad Green is a guy who can do it, has been around, has the stuff to do it, and definitely showed that in that series.
You talk to Hoffman more than we do on an everyday basis. Does he talk differently lately? Like, is there anything different? His mindset, demeanor? Is he walking around with his chest poked out? Like, is there any – he looked to me like, he'd lost his mojo a little bit. If you can lose your mojo in the ninth inning, it looked to me like he lost it. All of a sudden, it looked like he found it again. Does he sound that way when you talk to him?
I'm trying to think. I don't know that he sounds different. And you know, he's never said this to me, and he was never willing to use this as an excuse, but it just, he was used so heavily in April, right? There were the back-to-back two-inning outings in a span of 4 days. There were three two-inning outings plus a bunch of one-inning outings in a span of 21 days in April. And I feel like that just caught up with him a little bit in May, because you saw the velo be a little bit more inconsistent at that point in time, the location be a bit more inconsistent. And Kev, you know this, like when a pitcher who usually has good command suddenly scattering it a little bit, sometimes it's because he's needing to amp up a little bit more to get back to his normal levels. So, you know, the work's been a little bit more spaced out. Obviously, was really able to answer the bell this past week. It was 3-4 against the Yankees, 4-5 overall, and performed well in each of those outings. So, you know, I think it's more related to that and him just getting sharper with his stuff, as opposed to, you know, him questioning himself or maybe experiencing some doubts.
Mm-hmm. Who's not available tonight out of the bullpen? Did John tip his hand?
Well, it feels like everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I think Hoffman, John kind of left the door open on Chad Green, which I thought was interesting, but I'd imagine they stay away from him. Kind of 50-50 on Brendan Little and Yariel Rodriguez, and Jimmy Garcia. Sounded like Yariel should be available, but he had a heavy workload in that series too. So, I mean, that's why Lazaro Estrada is here. The Blue Jays just needed to give themselves some flexibility, and some coverage in the event something goes wrong, just because that series was very taxing and they really had to throw everything they had at the Yankees to pull that off. And they, you know, I think this series, there may be a bit of hangover from some of those efforts, specifically in the bullpen.
Max is throwing Saturday. Drama free, like all that stuff's over now. I mean, he'll come out occasionally and say, you know, I got to monitor it, and it's going to be a thing all the time. I'm not sure. Is it to the point where he's just saying it to be saying it, or is it a real thing, you think? Or is he just a starter? Like, it's, you know, it's business as usual.
I think it's somewhere in between those two realms,
yeah,
right?
It's, yeah.
Like the Blue Jays feel like they've, I don't know that they're necessarily comfortable, but feel like they've got maybe a bit of a handle on a range of outcomes or possibilities in between starts. And, you know, it's still there. Max was sore after the last one, maybe even a touch more sore than after Cleveland. But he went through his routine and sounds like he's good to go. I asked John Schneider that specifically, is it all systems go? We said, yeah. We'll see how that plays out tomorrow, obviously. But I think right now, it's there. The Blue Jays understand they have to manage it. Max understands he has to manage it. They're working really hard to do that. And we'll see how that plays out on a start-to-start basis. So they really feel like each 5 days between outings is going to be its own situation.
Shai, how much of a setback is it for the Blue Jays knowing now that Anthony Santander isn't going to be available probably until July 29th, right before the trade deadline? I mean, I would think that in the Blue Jays' perfect world, they would have been able to get a handle on what they can expect out of Santander the rest of the year before the deadline. And I suppose they can. I suppose he can go down and rehab and they can keep track of him and they can monitor his swing and everything. But how much of a setback do you think that is for their planning going forward?
From a planning perspective, I don't know that it's a major issue, right? Like injuries are never a good thing, but it happened in the area where they're deepest in the organization rep. So they've got coverage. And how many times and this isn't a criticism of Santander by any stretch, but this is more praise for the guys who have covered for him. But like, how many times in the past month have you said to yourself, boy, the Blue Jays really miss Anthony Santander, right? Where you were definitely saying that when Scherzer was out, you're definitely saying that when Jimmy Garcia was out. Now, the Blue Jays absolutely need Santander to come back. I mean, this is a guy who even in a couple months has a chance to hit, you know, 10, 12, 15 home runs for you in that period of time and have a major impact. So I think from that aspect, not you're reducing the amount of time in which he can have an impact. But in terms of their planning, it's given them a chance to see what other guys can do. It's helped them use the DH spot with Springer a little bit more often, be a bit more creative with it because it doesn't have to be primarily divided between just George and Anthony. So they've been able to not necessarily get some benefits, but just find out some things and adapt their team to the situation. And they really haven't felt it the way that when he went down, you would have thought they would have felt it.
Shy, do we have an update on Dalton?
Sorry, you garbled up there, Kevin.
Update on Dalton, Varsho.
He has started running. It sounds like the Blue Jays are hoping still that he's got a chance to play some rehab games next week. Maybe he could get back for, I don't know. I'm guessing here. I don't know if Sacramento is realistic, but I think at this point, have him back for the first game after the All-Star break. I mean, it really sounds like that's on the table.
Shy, really good of you to do this,
great
man.
Stuff.
Thanks so much. Great stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
Be well.
Have a good one.
Take care. Shai Davidi, MLB columnist, MLB insider with Sportsnet.
Yeah.
So there you go, an update on Dalton Varsho.
Mm-hmm.
On Dalton Varsho as well. Yeah, it's interesting sort of stepping back and seeing just how the Jays have managed Jeff Hoffman this year. And I think I go back to something John said, might have been last week. I made a note of it. It was during one of his media sessions. Here it is. It was June 27th, a little farther back. He talked about how he wanted to break up a pattern of what he called irregular appearances for Hoffman,
mm-hmm.
and kind of wanted to get him into a, as said, I think he's still in the process of figuring out what he has to do in between appearances. And that, to me, obviously, is a product of not having Jimmy. And I think now, even though Jimmy, the gloves aren't off Jimmy, I don't think necessarily at this point. But that may explain what we're seeing from Hoffman, is just there is a little more regularity to how he's being.
So you're saying the more injured. He pitches, the better off he'll be? Because he's not overthinking.
The more he pitches in a regular pattern, the better off he'll be. See, that's why, like, when people look, four to five games is a ton.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little different when it's four to five games, one inning at a time, as opposed to we're going to use you for two-thirds of an inning here. We're going to use you for an inning and a third here because of a pocket. And I think that that's kind of what John is getting at, is to sort of – and I'm with him, because I really think I look at the velocity. As long as the velocity's there, I'm okay with this. And I think just getting Jeff Hoffman into a regular thing where you're going to pitch this inning, you're going to pitch this inning, you're going to pitch this inning, I think that'll make a real difference. There's still going to be – I think he's still going to give up a lot of contact.
Yeah.
But or I should say, I think he's going to give up some of the odd hard contact.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I think that they just needed to get him into a pattern of usage.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I think Rodriguez being good.
Sorry,
helps.
And I was going to say, you can do that when you're winning games. You can do that you're scoring more runs. You
sure.
can kind of find that pattern of usage.
Yeah, Little's helped out too with what he's been doing.
Yes,
like
he has.
There's some guys down there stepping up that has allowed John to and Petey to communicate well enough to say, you know, we'll probably give you today off. Tomorrow you're going to do this, that, and the other. Be prepared to do whatever routine thing to prepare yourself to do this. You know, he's been getting hit hard because of the split finger. Split finger still ain't doing anything.
It's July 4. I don't know how you get around that, Kevin. I've asked you that, and I asked Chris LaRue that yesterday. They just kind of, I mean, I don't know what you do.
I've asked people that are really close to that, and I think they're still trying to figure it out, too. Which
you just throw it between outings and try to.
Yeah, it's very hard, right? I mean, it gets back to that
strain in your arm.
Well,
too.
It gives you blisters, and
yeah,
you know, it's just real hard on your finger. It's hard on your forearm. That's why people don't like to throw them a ton, right? When you're throwing split fingers, you don't even like to throw it in pins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's, you know, just practicing holding the baseball between your fingers. Just split your fingers apart. Puts all kinds of pressure up your up your arm that you just don't want, right? And a guy that high leverage with the heart rate going up the way it is, Yeah, look, I think he's been pretty good with everything they've asked him to do, especially early in the season, trying to weather the storm when they weren't scoring runs. They were basically abusing him. I mean, Shai was right about the two-inning thing, and yeah, I'm sure you're right, too, about that. I think he went, 10 or 12 days there where he only threw three times. That's mm-hmm. a lot, right? I mean, it's yep. a lot of time between outings.
Yep.
It might have been on purpose. You know, the thing Shai said, I'm sure Shai's just not saying that because Shai says that, right? I mean, I'm sure Shai's done enough homework to know that, they were concerned a little bit with how much they were using him and the stuff and just the way it was breaking and, just the high leverage is hard.
So let me ask you this.
Coming to a new team, being paid to, you add that to the mix, expectations.
I'm not going to assume that the splitter, let's just assume that the splitter's not reliable.
Yeah.
What separates him from Jordan Romano?
Control of the fastball.
Romano was basically fastball slider.
Yeah, he was more of a
– or more slider.
You fastball. Know, knees, elbows, okay. and shoulders flying all over the place. Fastball was a little all over the place. I'm not saying he's not good and he couldn't right. get the job done, but I think the fastball command for the most part with Jeff has been a little bit more on point. And when he is dominant, he's dotting that thing. Right? If he needs to go down, up, in, and out, he can basically do it whenever he wants to do it. And then he'll try and tunnel – the split finger when it's good off of that. It just seems like to me, for whatever reason, he's trying to throw that thing for strikes. They don't want that. They don't want people to put that ball in play. Don't want called strikes either, right? It's the certain counts that he's throwing it in. The elevated fastball to lefties is a big pitch for him. I think he feels confident enough to throw the slider to lefties, right? Most people, just because lefties have that little natural uppercut in their swing, you don't want the bat path reaching the back foot slider. But it just seems like because he throws hard enough, they have to respect that. You're cheating. You can get swing over the tops of the slider. You want him dominant. You want to win a World Series. Figure out the split finger. If not, go out and get you somebody else. That's where they're at. Like, they're trying to – I mean, they're in first place July, buddy. Now you're talking about a different kind of – you're breathing a different kind of air now. Now it's about how, not only are you thinking about making the playoffs, winning your division – but you're thinking about now, if this is working and the way the American League looks, all of a sudden, if you go out and add another piece that is a hard thrower who has been there and done it before, and we all know the names, if you could absolutely oops and fall on one of them, and you got three or four guys down there now that you can flip that thing around, and you got power to its, you're just oozing out of your pores with power. I mean, it's now you're asking less of him. You can sort of divvy it up the way you want to use all three or four of them mm-hmm. in a playoff series or series, which is, boy, you could close your eyes and dream about that if you're a Jays fan. So, yeah, I think he weathered the storm. Everybody's got bumps in their season. He went through it. I think that him being a closer for the – I think that's an excuse. It's too easy to talk about it that way. I know John said that early in the season.
It would seem to me that I'm going to disagree with that. It would seem to me that by the way, the Mets are now leading the Yankees 6-5. Not that we care about a second place team.
Well, it's always fun when the Mets or the Yankees lose.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
but I mean, if you say that the contract brings added pressure, being in a new environment brings added pressure, then I think being the closer. Has
he
to bring
did it
added
in Philadelphia.
Pressure. Not, but he was. That's not.
He did it in Philadelphia.
He always
this
had.
This ain't Philadelphia.
No. He always had a security blanket. He was not the full time closer yes. there.
I mean, when he was wasn't, the closer, he was on an island by himself in Philadelphia.
He was not the full time closer.
I'm sure there's a little truth to what you're saying. I'm sure John's not going to say it if they haven't been talking about it. He's not just doesn't have it in his nature to come out and say things like that. So I'm sure it was a topic of conversation. But I think mid-season, now that he's been doing it long enough, I don't think that's a thing anymore. Now I think it's about self-correcting, figuring out the split finger. If you want to take it to another gear, I like the gear he's in now, but if you want to take it to another gear to where he could almost be as predictable as you could possibly be, just because of the stuff he could have in the three-pitch mix, figure that thing out, and now you're cooking with gravy.
All right.
Boom.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. It is still open. We are going to take a break, come back, and we may be joined by Ryan Spielborgs.
We shall see. It's Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're about an hour and a half away from first pitch at the Rogers Center. The Jays and the Los Angeles Angels. It is an Apple TV Plus game, so you can listen to it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet with and Sportsnet Radio Network. Pardon me, with Chris LaRue and Ben Schulman. And again, that is a 7:07 first pitch. We will not be doing Blue Jays talk tonight. They've given us a night off, and we'll be doing Blue Jay Central tomorrow, and Sunday. It's going to be hot.
I know you've been whining about that.
It's going to be hot.
About 30 minutes. It's fine.
Awfully hot to wear a tie.
Let it go, dude.
Anyhow. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. We've been soliciting questions and calls all day because we're probably not going to we won't have a chance to talk to you again until Monday after the Blue Jays talk following the White Sox game. It's almost the All-Star break, man.
I know.
I was trying to figure it's
been some really good baseball. That's why it's went fast.
To me, the last month has gone real. I thought the first part of the season was kind of, but I mean, I thought it was a little bit of rinse and repeat, like just a carryover from last year for a while. But the last month has just flown by. And I mean, I guess that's what happened. I mean, this team's played awfully good baseball. What are they? We see yesterday, they 21-10, 22-10 or something like that. They've played an awfully good brand of baseball. And, you know, they've done it at the right time. They've done it with the Yankees spinning their wheels a bit.
Yeah, the Jays don't have 100 home runs as a team. Wait. Yeah. Wait, am I reading that right? Yeah. That's crazy stuff. And they're in first place. And we've had calls that said the team's fun to watch.
Yep.
So believe that. I mean, John was right about the base running and taking the extra base. That's fun.
It is.
It is really fun. I like watching guys take bases, and you're like on the edge of your seat holding your breath whether he's going to make it or not because he gets good jumps, he runs good routes, cuts the corners well.
That small,
your third base coach is really good.
That small ballish stuff is kind of good, but you know what's even better?
It's not
George,
small ballish.
George putting balls over the fence.
Well, you need one guy to be laying the boots, but then there's everybody else.
Jesse in Cold Lake, Alberta.
Wow. I just wanted to say, you know, I know the run differential thing is a hot topic in today's MLB, but I don't really care for the conversation all that much. I know it's baseball talk and it's something that's going to be talked about, but the Blue Jays just sent the Yankees back to New York with their pinstripe tails between their legs. They faced two guys who would be aces on respective teams if they were on different teams. You know, I think plenty of teams in the American League would have Rodon as an ace and their guy. So that's the real measuring stick I'm looking at personally. You beat good pitching. You did what you had to do. Your pitchers were on the same page as the manager and the pitching coach, understanding when and how they needed to beat these guys, and they did it. And there were some heart-beating moments for me, but, man, George Springer, guys like that, just putting it beyond the shadow of a doubt. That's something that I don't remember seeing with the Blue Jays for a long time. So awesome to watch, and thank you guys for what you do. Great show. Hope you have me on.
Yeah, nice. Thanks, Jesse. That is a great point. Look, the whole run differential thing, we've talked about it. Run differential, expected one loss and everything. Keep in mind that if this was last year, both the Yankees and the Jays would be about 6.5 games out of first place right now.
Yeah.
But the run differential is interesting, but these are human beings doing human being things, and the Jays are playing good baseball at the perfect time. It's not just that they're doing this while the Yankees have hit the skids. The Jays are doing this while Tampa Bay has picked that up too. So there are a lot of things here. It really does come down to when you do it in baseball. I think maybe more than any other sport. When do you get hot? Because you play so many games. And there are so many other teams playing on the same day. And the Jays have picked the perfect time to play the way they are. And, yeah, there's an environmental thing happening. There's stuff around them happening. You know, the Red Sox are just kind of screwed themselves. But that's why the run differential interests me, because it interests me because I don't know how this front office views it. I don't know what I don't know what they see when they look at it. And I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm just saying, I don't know what they see when they look at it. Are they saying, wow, we shouldn't be this good? Or they're saying, oh my God, I can't believe look where we are.
Yeah, I'm sure they're digging into all that. I'm sure they're digging into why they are way better at home than they are on the road, right? I mean, there's 75 games left. 39 of those are on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to be above 500. I would think if you want to win your division, you have to be way better on the road. How do you do that, right? I mean, can you hit more homers on the road? Can you have better approaches? I haven't done a bunch of digging into that, but
I keep getting back, though. It's not – this is why the road stuff confuses me, because you're playing in different parks. Like it's you can look at what you do at the Rogers Center and say, okay, how is it? But you're playing in different parks.
I don't think that matters. I think your best players are thinking about why they're not doing well on the road. Bobichette's probably the main reason why they're bringing that big giant machine on the plane, because he's not figuring out, for whatever reason, why that is. Why, right? I mean, people have asked him, and he's answered and said it needs to get better. I'm not sure he has an answer for why. I'm sure it has something to do with there's a lot more of a routine at home, and you can get locked into that when you get to the park, when you're doing how much you're doing it, all that things. I mean, that I'm sure is, they're human beings. They like routines, right? And when you're doing well at one place, you want to sort of duplicate that in another place. How do you do it? That, I think, is what they're searching for. For me, if you want to win your division, it's going to come down, at least for me, for those road games. How do you get better? How do you win more games on the road? I don't think you can finish under 500 on the road and think you're going to be better than the Yankees or the Rays.
That's
just me.
I just, the road thing is, I just find it hard to quantify something like that when you're playing in different parks. And I know I keep getting back that, but you're playing different dimensions, different parks. Some are indoors, different weather, different wind patterns, all that stuff.
Yeah, they're 29th in homers on the road.
I know what they are. I know what they are, but I don't know.
They're 27th in runs scored on the road.
Yeah, and they're great at home. I get that, but I don't know what explains that.
Well, I think they're trying to figure it out. I think they're trying to figure out a routine that works. Why is it working at home? It's not working on the road. I mean, again. Like, there's, the minds are working overtime. The underground city for the Jays is trying to figure out what that is, and hopefully they figure it out, because for me, that will be one of the at least talking points going forward, is how many games on the road you're winning going forward.
Ryan in Toronto. Ryan.
Just a quick question. Don't you think the odd man out in the current lineup, when everybody gets healthy, is going to be Davis Schneider based on performance year to date? Great job with the show.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's an everyday guy anyway. John, he's like a reliever. You put him in the right pocket. You're trying to, success of this guy throws this, his bat path adds up to that. There's a lefty throwing, he's playing. It's real simple. Will he take playing time away from Tony or Varsho? Absolutely not. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the beauty of this is
now,
he.
Where it gets interesting, though, Kevin, is when those two come back, somebody's got to go down. Will Wagner would probably be the guy to go down.
I think so, too. I think that's probably an easier choice.
what do you do with the second choice?
Well, I mean,
again, those things now, those things have a way of taking care of themselves, and it's entirely possible that when we know that Anthony Santander is out, let's just say he's out until after the deadline. Let's just say he's out until August 1st.
Yeah.
So those things have a way of working out, because I will say this. I would be shocked if after the deadline, everybody on this major league roster here and, you know, guys like Jonathan Clough, I'll be surprised
Leo
if they're
Jimenez
all here.
Is of the world.
I'll be surprised if they're all here.
I mean, there's
I
some
think
obvious,
that'll take care
there's
of
some obvious choices if you really dig into it of who might go down.
But
and
I get back to this. Davis Schneider keeps hitting, then I'm not interested in the Tommy Pham's of the world. I got that guy right here. So
yeah, I think Davis got a little bit more power than Tommy does. I mean, that's what you're looking for. A threat off the bench to hit a homer off a guy throwing hard. Does Davis give you that? The new approach that he has, you know, he's up on his toe now. That's a little different. Like, he hasn't done that. He tinkers all the time. It's very hard to pay attention all the time to all the tinkering that he does. But he is trying to, I would think, stay on the anchor, right? The back leg more 60-40 than 50-50. It's that kind of thing. He's just trying to give himself a chance to hit it where it's pitched with authority, not be so one-sided. I've been saying that for how long? I mean, they're doing him a disjustice by trying to get him to always pull the baseball because he's got power the other way. You don't have to. We've seen him hit homers to right center. Right center's a long way at the Rogers Center. So I'm with you. Hopefully he takes off and runs with it because he's a good dude. He's easy to root for.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's lumped in with all them other guys that it's just you sort of on the outside looking at it, it's amazing they're in first place doing it with the names they're doing it with.
I mean, I give the guy a lot of credit because he could have gone down to the minors and just become another guy. And he's put himself back in the picture here. He's put himself back in the picture.
Yeah, I think injuries have helped too a little bit.
Well, yeah,
but I'm with you.
He's taken it. You know what? He's taken advantage of this second chance.
I know it's hard sometimes to give all these coaches credit, but I do think the new hitting coaches as a whole, they communicate very well. And I think that is a big deal. They're very specific on what they want a certain individual to hone in on and see the results. It's working.
Rick from Eganville, Ontario.
I've been listening to you guys talk on what the Blue Jays need at the trade deadline. In my opinion, what the Blue Jays need is a bona fide leadoff hitter that is also a threat to steal, which gives the opposing pitcher two things to think about, except just one, the batter at the plate. Like to hear your thoughts. Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rick. I mean, I don't know where he'd play.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, again, on the list of your priority sheet, that ain't at the top. I mean, perfect scenario, you'd like to fill in all the blanks. It'd probably make it a little easier for Bo to be Bo. Putting Bo in the two-hole, Vladdy in the three-hole. You could do whatever you want to do after that. Put Springer where you want to put Springer.
I think this team is – I like the balance they're showing right now in the bases. I don't look at this team and go, you know what they need to do? They need to steal more bases. They've got guys who can steal bases.
I think what the caller's point is, do you think you can make a run in the playoffs with Bo leading off?
Hell yeah.
That's a bit strong.
What?
Bo swings a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I'm not, again, would I rather have Bo coming up with traffic or leading off?
I don't think it's on the list of concerns.
Nobody said that. I'm saying what the caller said.
But I just ask, where's he going to play? I'll ask you, whose spot is he going to take?
I wasn't the one that said it.
Well, okay,
I'm saying I'd rather have power other places.
Fine.
And I'm a big enough fan of Bo's that he'll figure it out.
Whose spot is he going to take again? I'll ask you. Whose spot would the leadoff hitter take?
Holy. You're asking me this?
Yeah.
You know I didn't call in, right?
Yeah, I know. But you're saying you would prefer
No, I didn't. I did not say that. Again, you are very good at only
hearing and
piecing a sentence together the way you want it to sound.
You said.
Nobody said that. I ask you.
You would prefer having Bo in a run?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I didn't have
Well, why do you think John put him in the three-hole today?
Because Vladdy's hurt.
Well, why do you think he fits in better there than he does leading off today?
I
didn't say what's going on. What? I can't hear you. What'd you say? That's why. That's why John is doing it. I'm saying perfect case scenario. There's other things above that. I'm okay with Bo leading off because Bo feels comfortable there.
You just said you didn't think you could go. You just said.
I said,
do you think you can go to the playoffs?
This is what the caller's thinking.
Oh, you said, do you think you can go to the playoffs or go through the playoffs with Bo Bichette leading off?
Make a serious run in the playoffs with
yes,
that.
With Bo leading off? Hell yeah.
Okay.
You. Yes.
So that's good. I'm asking the question. I'm not giving you an answer one way or the other. I'm asking you the question.
Do you think they can?
I think his approach in the playoffs on the edges, refine it a little, be a little tougher out when it comes all to right. that. He's a free swinger. He's going to do what he wants to do. He ain't ever going to listen to me. It's like plan B. I mean, I've been screaming and yelling that. How many? 300 at bats? That ain't happening. It's, you know what good pitching does? They let you get yourself out. That's what good pitching does. What are you going to face in the playoffs, Jeff? Good pitching. That's all. I'm not saying he ain't a really good hitter. Nobody says that. Would I rather have him come up and have his approach with three dudes on? Without a doubt. No question. That's facts. So the caller is half right a little. Have the guy more paying attention to him. Get a cookie early in the count because you want to be aggressive. Why did John say that Barger is exactly like Bo? They swinging on the on-deck circle. They can't wait to run up and swing. See? That's what you got to ask yourself. In the playoffs, is that going to work? Well, we'll see. Because they're a playoff team. Be fun to watch. Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. Just wondering. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people still, you know, people have this notion of the perfect leadoff hitter and that it's got to be a guy that can slap the ball to all fields and steal bases. I like the way this offense is. Like, I don't look at this team and go, oh, my God, they're station to station. They take the extra bases. They take the extra base. Mm. John was right. They've done a very good job of that. They, depending on who is playing, they are a really aggressive base running team. They're very aggressive. And I don't. To me, that other component.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's a speed factor of that too, right? It's the leadoff hitter. Can he score from first to home? That thing, right? Have you seen, when's the last time you saw Bo do that?
That's fair. But
I'm not saying that it's not going to play out the way you want it to play out. But to the caller's point, you know, I'm playing along here. Perfect case scenario. I'm not saying that's on the list of priorities, which it's not, right? You're looking for power. It ain't in the leadoff spot. You're not looking for a leadoff hitter, right? You're going to look for an eighth inning guy or a number three, whatever it is they're going to look for. But it is food for thought, and it is funny that John could have stuck him in the leadoff spot and moved the other two guys down and had Springer in the three hole. But he didn't. Funny how that is, isn't it?
Well, again, I'm sure there's something there.
Absolutely, there is.
There's some
knee issues. You don't want to be in no hurry. I mean, there's a lot of things go into all this.
There's that whole, you know, I'm sure they've figured something out about Jimenez, the bat path and everything. I'm sure it's one of those things.
Well, you give him credit. Again, I get back to that coaching thing, that hitting
that
coach thing,
facetiously.
Right? I mean, you got to be willing to tinker. Again, he's been paid too.
Yep.
When you've been paid, it's real easy to listen to a hitting coach and go, yeah, I'm buying that. Can I go out there and give it 25 at-bats? When there ain't no way I'd look right through you and not pay attention to you because I'm trying to get paid. That's the difference. Them's facts, Jeff.
Anyhow.
They're in first place. It's a lot of fun to talk about a first-place team.
Well,
because they're a good team. You know what?
It is.
They've earned first place, too. You can say what you want about that run differential thing. They've been through basically about everything you can go through in a season and weathered it,
and
they're
won.
In first place.
Yeah, they have picked the right time.
Yeah, and the American League has basically led them. You know, it's with where the Orioles and the Red Sox and the Rangers, like, the door's wide open.
They have had a lot go their way.
Oh, no question. Not getting the best two Angels pitchers, starting pitchers.
I mean,
it's like.
That's it for us this week. We will be back on Monday. We'll be doing Blue Jays Central Saturday and Sunday as well. Have yourself a great weekend. Stay safe. Enjoy the baseball. And we'll talk on Monday.